Hi, everyone. It's 4:02, calling to order at Sussex Academy Board of Directors meeting. Do a roll call. I'm Chris Moody, president.
Eric Anderson, head of school.
Sherry Mathbury, dean of secondary campus.
Duncan Smith, chief operating officer.
Lauren Wisely, board member.
Odey Jamie, board member.
Darlene O'Neill, board member.
Andrea Rogers, board secretary.
Matt Keen, dean of students and athletics.
Lance Van Love, board member.
Sarah Messina, teacher rep.
Brittany Berzlin, treasurer.
Chris Shell, board member.
Jen Scott, board member.
Jen Donahue, board member.
Thank you. Moving through the agenda, approval of minutes. Andrew sent out the minutes. Do I have a motion to approve the minutes I submitted?
I'll make a motion to approve the minutes from last month, April 27th.
There's a second, Uday? Great. Any other discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Great. Motion carries. No public comment that you're aware of, anybody, no one's coming, right? Okay, no public comment, so we'll go right to Eric with the head of school report.
Hello, everybody. So first thing I wanted to do is that I wanted to introduce Matt Keen, who joined us as our new dean of athletics and students. Matt, I just wanted him to be here so you could put a face to the name. Matt, I don't know if you want to say anything.
Now, a week and a half in, I can tell this is a pretty good place to be, so I'm excited.
Good.
Yeah.
Welcome.
Well, I appreciate it. Yeah.
Where did you come from?
I was in Red Clay for the last 9 years.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
So dean of students, like what responsibility does that
entail? Discipline.
Okay, cool. Good luck.
They gave you something you want to do and then something you might not want to do, right? So
you know, you take the good with the bad.
Yeah.
But the bad here, that what I've seen isn't I've dealt with some different things, you know, that
that's for another
time.
And then we'll, I know some board members, Gina sent out an invite for a reception on Monday with Mr. Keen. So you'll have an opportunity to talk to him more on a more intimate level at that time. All right, so first just want to highlight some past events that have taken place since our last board meeting. Our high school students put on an excellent performance of The Wedding Singer on April 29th and 30th. It went really well, and they're already gearing up for next year's shows, and I think they have six different performances planned between shows and cabarets, etc. So our program is just growing, and like I say all the time, if you haven't come out and seen them, they're a great talent and definitely worth coming out to watch one of our shows. On May 3rd, we had an excellent visit with Congresswoman Lisa Blunt Rochester. She came and I toured the school with her, and we sat down and had a student. She went to a few classrooms. We went to Mr. Colombo's Marine Ecology classroom because she sits on the Environment Committee for the House. So they had crafted questions, and there was a really nice conversation that took place with the class. And then we had a group of students that we did a round table where they asked her questions, and they got to have about a 30-minute conversation with the Congresswoman. And then we had a photo shoot out front, and it was just a really nice event. And she had been here before. She was the commencement speaker for the first graduating class, but she was really happy to be back and see the school while we were in session. So hopefully we'll get her out here to see the elementary school on a future visit.
What was the purpose of her visit? Just no purpose, just visiting?
So when I attended the School Leaders of Color National Convention, it was virtual. We met with her people, and she was the one representative that hasn't come to visit our school. So I, you know, had made the request. It would be nice for her to make a visit.
Gotcha.
So, yeah, because I hadn't had a chance to meet her, and she hadn't had a chance to see the school in full operation. So when they got back, they set up a visit. So we were... Senator Carper was going to try to get a visit in before the end of the year, but I don't think that's going to happen. But we'll get him in next year. State testing's been underway. We're pretty much wrapping up getting makeup testing. AP and IB, IB ended today. AP is just, we're doing makeup testing, so we'll probably do makeup testing through next Thursday. And then we're finishing the DESA and the Smarter Balance state testing K through 11. Last week, the Charter School Network held their annual IDA Awards on Thursday, and representing the school, even though we didn't have any nominees, Dr. McBurry and Ms. Hendricks attended the reception with me. Some events that we have coming up, obviously we're getting ready to get into the postseason for our athletics, or our spring teams that have made the tournament will be playing. Our girls lacrosse team, I know, is seeded number 2, and they'll play on Saturday. Our boys lacrosse, I know that the index is still wrapping up, and our girls soccer unfortunately lost a nail biter in double overtime to Newark Charter yesterday, 2-1. And with that loss, even though they had their last game today, they probably will just miss the tournament. And one thing to note with them is that they had a harder schedule this year, and they played some of the top teams in the state. They played Charter School of Bloomington, they played Newark Charter, and they competed. So unfortunately, they won't make the tournament. I think had they made it, they would have probably made a few upsets. We have spring concerts coming up. Our secondary concert will be at 6 p.m. next Wednesday, the 25th. Elementary concerts are taking place during the school day. On Friday, you have K-1 at noon, grades 2 and 3 at 1, and 4th and 5th at 2 p.m. As we're coming to the end of the year, we have a number of end-of-year celebrations coming up. Our high school will be doing their end-of-the-year celebration, yearbook signing, next Thursday, the 26th. We have the week of June 6th, our middle school and elementary school students will be participating in various end-of-the-year celebrations. And our 8th graders, they learn ballroom dancing and different dances and etiquette, and they'll be doing that on the 8th and the 9th. Some other dates to be aware of is we have our annual sports banquet on June 1st. At 6 p.m., we have our head of school senior breakfast and graduation rehearsal in the morning on June 2nd, and then in the evening we have our seniors awards banquet, and then we have high school graduation outside on the turf field on June 3rd. additionally, we have moving up from 5th grade on the 9th at 6:30 p.m. and moving up for 8th grade at 9 a.m. on June 10th. So Chris, you'll get invites if you have into all those events. And if any other board members want to attend, just send me an email so that we can have a seat for you. And if there's any board members who have graduating seniors, you want to give the diploma. So
same here.
Yeah, okay, yeah. So we'll make sure that you'll be able to do that.
That's interesting. Okay.
Gina had shot an email about that
before. Yeah.
Is there anything in particular we need to do?
No, she'll tell you, like, pay attention to the program when we get to a certain name, come up, and then you'll just walk up. There's 2 stairs. You'll walk up the step, give it to them, walk down together. And then a few other things to shout out. Samantha Oliver was this year's recipient of the Delaware Secretary of Scholar Award. So she gets recognized along with all the other academic scholars from the other high schools in the state of Delaware. Jessica Love is a finalist for the Delaware Charter School Network Teacher of the Year. She was nominated by a group of parents. And a strategic plan, I will have the finished strategic plan to you. I'm still waiting on one group's final work plan that hasn't been turned in. As soon as I get that, I can then wrap that up and I'll get that to the board well in advance for our June meeting. And next month, I'm going to do a full presentation of our grading policy with updates going into next school year. I'll be doing a full day PD with the different groups of teachers, K through 12, going over the grading policy, and then I'll do those highlights for the board that meeting that month. Okay?
Did you mention the girls across?
Yeah.
You did, okay.
I did. Yeah. Any questions?
Do we have a rain date for graduation?
So we have a rain plan. So everybody got 8 tickets, and they get 4 tickets for indoor. So when those 8 tickets, 4 are labeled indoor, and 4 are labeled outdoor. There could be a last minute where we say, you know, if the weather looks like it, that we'll do it the next day, but we'll make that call.
It should be okay.
But we're not even going to put that out there that it's going to rain on graduation day.
All right, we're good. Foundation, I guess, is Jim up.
So Mr. Shell's not here for the foundation report. I know he was planning to attend, but he's not going to be here.
Yeah, okay. He got COVID bad.
Okay.
He's getting better.
All right, good.
So he never left Florida.
Really?
Yeah.
That's just emailing with him. I thought he said he was going to
I think he's coming. I think he's actually flying. He was going to fly today.
Okay.
But I think it was hit or miss.
Wow. Okay. Next up is monthly board financial reports. So Duncan.
There are handouts here. Someone didn't bring copies that were sent out. So I'll go through the monthly financial report through the end of April. On the revenue side, state funding, really no changes compared to the end of March. Still waiting for just a few thousand to come in. It's anticipated, but they generally don't come in until the end of the year, the critical needs scholarship or any dual enrollment reimbursement. So to date through the end of April, just under $9.5 million, which was roughly what was anticipated. Just a reminder, the last meeting, the board approved the final budget for FY22, so those adjustments are made in that first column. On the local side, revenue still coming in from the cafeteria and the pool. To date, just under $3.4 million in local dollars. What we are still outstanding is about $300,000. One big piece of that was what was anticipated in tuition tax. I know we'll probably have some more discussion about that. That was estimated to be about $250,000, which just in developments in the last week, we are being told we should not expect to receive that money this fiscal year. But still through the rest of this month in June, we do anticipate more revenue from the pool and the cafeteria and then other miscellaneous deposits. Then on the federal side, spending occurs, we receive our federal dollars. So the remainder of that is expected to come in through the end of June. So altogether through the end of April, receipts are just under $13.5 million, or about 97% of what was anticipated for this year.
Duncan, just a quick question on the local. Do you anticipate us being made whole up to that almost 3.7, so that another 300,000 to get there? Like, am I looking at that correctly? So we're at like...
So the right-hand column, the anticipated still is the 298.
Yeah.
If without the $250,000 in tuition tax, that would be then an additional $48,000-$50,000 coming in. Mm-hmm. On the expenditure side, our staffing, salaries, OECs, health insurance still continue to be our largest expense. A couple other items of note, the utilities with energy and water and sewer. I think as I mentioned last month, our oil and propane costs are way up, leading to that little deficit there on that line item. With student transportation, the initial estimates for transportation included money that needed to be encumbered through a purchase order. The adjustments haven't been made to that purchase order yet, so while it appears that $257,000 is outstanding, yet to be spent, we will not be spending that amount. Purchase order has been resubmitted to decrease that amount, so that we will not see that deficit with student transportation.
We won't be spending any of that $257,000?
Some of it, yes. We still have bills to pay for the next couple months, but nowhere near 257. We're paying about $50,000 a month with our contract.
So we might end up balancing the budget on that
one. On that one, correct.
On that line.
On that line, yes.
On line item, correct.
Correct.
Right, where right now it looks bad, but it's really not.
Right, it's not. It's just that the encumbered amount, we had to encumber that back in July.
Can you just explain to everybody that doesn't,
what
I don't know if everyone's...
Means.
Okay.
How it works with the state, though, and you had to close out the PO, and like I just didn't know if everybody's aware of how that works.
So our contract with our bus contractor is, I think it's $507,000. We're paying $50,700 a month. So based on what that purchase order was set up with the state, we actually created a purchase order larger than that amount at the beginning of the fiscal year in July, because we hadn't yet finalized what the amount was going to be from our contractor, so we estimated a little higher. So we will close that out, submit the new purchase order for the exact amount or with our spending. So the remaining encumbrance that the money is that is set aside by the state to pay out the rest of that contract is less than the 257. I don't know that exact number right now. It won't come out until the end of this month, because the new purchase order was put into place just within the last week. So we won't be looking at a negative $184,000 on that line. It'll be closer to, if anything, maybe $30,000 if we work in, depending on our spending for transportation for sports and trips or anything in this last month. And so altogether, through the end of April, expenditures at just over $12 million, with a balance based on our original budget of just under $1.4 million.
Okay, what's the end of our fiscal year?
June 30.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And Do teachers have the option of choosing to be paid through the summer?
They have to. 26.
And
they
have to do that?
Yes.
Oh, okay. So, all right.
So those pays for July and August actually show up on the next
fiscal year's.
Yeah.
So we'll probably end with a positive balance in salaries and benefits.
In terms of our spending?
Right.
Well, keep in mind, last year we added the elementary school, so all the new staff that were hired last year, their July and August payments were part of salaries that are included in this. So it's kind of a wash between what would have been part of last fiscal year in terms of our spending. Their July and August are part of this, where this year's July and August will be part of next
right.
fiscal year.
But the reason I'm hoping that you would say yes, we will end up with a positive balance, is it looks like next year our budget goes down by what, $370,000 for salaries and benefits. So it would be nice if we ended this year like plus 500, and actually next year is actually realistic.
Yeah. Well, part of a discussion I think we're going to have about a staffing plan for next year, it will be reflected, or is the how that is reflected in next year's proposed budget.
How do you expect the rest of these line items to turn out towards the end of the fiscal year? Like, is there going to be a surplus or a deficit at the end of the year?
I expect to see a little bit of a deficit. I expect us to be over our budget for the fiscal year.
What's
we do have running, scaling it out, probably about $200,000 in spending. And then with the difference of not receiving that tuition tax, we would see that additional deficit.
How is that funded?
Tuition tax?
No, how is a deficit funded?
We have reserves.
Just reserves?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So what changed from approving the budget last month to now having a $200,000 deficit?
Some unexpected expenditures. The tuition tax is a big adjustment.
But the tuition tax is in excess of this 200,000?
It's gonna be 450.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, so it's 450 if that doesn't come in.
It's not coming in.
It's not coming in.
It's not coming in.
So it's 450 then.
It could come in at a later time, but it will not. We will not have that those funds for this fiscal year is what I was told.
Correct.
And I would say, moving forward, that we don't even put it in an anticipated revenue because it's so messed with our heads thinking that we were getting this money. And now it's like a punch in the gut that we're not. It's like, so I don't even think, we need to like put it away somewhere.
Well, it's creating a lot of difficulties for a lot of schools from what I'm hearing on those charter school calls that I've been on.
And to your point, Jen, to rectify that, the state is coming up with a new calculation on the operations side as part of the state formula.
So we have to put it in there?
No. What I'm saying is next year, the way they will be calculating state funding for schools based on the unit count will account for that additional tuition tax. We're not going to have to worry about sending bills out anymore. The state's just going to take care of that.
Oh, so we're going to get it. It's just going to be lumped in with the rest of our local funds.
Moving forward, correct.
It's not going to be on the districts to give us the money.
And that will change everything.
Oh, yeah, that will change everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But here's the thing I want to stress here is that either as a board, we're not asking the right questions or we're not being prompted with the right cues to put us in the position where we're asking the right questions, right? Because here we are, it's May. We approved a budget a month ago, and we never talked about that we were going to have to tap our reserves a month ago. So like I said, we're either not asking the right questions, or this information, I mean, we're not the experts, right? We either need to, you know, sharpen our pencils and get smarter about the financials, or you guys need to feed us more information.
The one thing I think Steve did that I haven't seen in
the color coding.
Well, he would say, like, this is how far along we are in sort of the expenditure year, and this is how far along we are in sort of the revenue year. And then he would show how much of our budget we'd spent. So if we were like 70% along through the expenditure year and we had spent 77% of our budget, that was kind of a red flag. That would say.
So we still have that report.
We have that report.
It comes in the packet.
It's the same report.
But we used to do it like for each category, right?
It has the color code. It has everything on it.
Unanticipated expenditures. It was what, four pages?
It was emailed.
Throughout the year.
I was multiple. That was
well, really, we since a, the past, past, since this budget was approved.
Duncan sent some.
Or Duncan sent the financials out.
When? I'm sorry.
Monday.
Monday
morning.
Did something change between, like, as far as the anticipated expenses, did something change between April's meeting and this meeting? Like, did we have things come up?
We did have some things come up.
Are you allowed to give us some details on that?
I'd have to go back to look at specifics, but I know we've had some buildings and grounds, things that have come up. That's the primary when I look at a list of just throughout the year. Some of the extra expenses that weren't originally anticipated.
Like things that were urgent.
To the tune of like $200,000 though, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
Because the 250 is a wild card there, but there was $200,000 of changes that happened between now mm-hmm. and.
Yeah, between some of those and some staffing, yeah.
Because I think kind of when we talk about the staffing and I understand how the OECs and all that fluctuates a little bit and goes up, but I think part of the problem is we need to take a better look at the trend earlier in the year from the get-go. If salaries, every time there's a salary, things are trending up a little bit, because what's happening is if we're 2-3% over every month, and then at the end of the day we're like, oh my gosh, we're over 20% of our salary budget. I think we just need to do a better job communicating on where each line is, especially regards to salaries. Even if they're above for each month, we can talk about why they are. So every single month, we can say if we're over 3%, then we can say why. And then it's in the minutes, and then we totally understand. We have the full picture at the end of the year, and still now we're here, we are in May, and we're trying to figure this out. So.
So I think part of the problem is that we approve a budget and then it's so much time in between a final budget. And what I've seen other organizations do in situations like that is similar to what you're saying, report on projections every month so that when the total salary, and also similar to what you're saying, so like we're 60% through the year and based on how many more pay periods we're gonna have, this is what we expect to spend. And I've seen policies in the past where your if your projections are outside of the original approved board budget by a certain percent, that needs to be a board vote. You can't spend outside the board approved budget by a certain percent without a vote.
Great.
Yeah, that's a good. We've talked about that in years past. I feel like.
Yeah.
Sometimes you can't help it though. Sometimes stuff happens.
Yeah.
So one of the things, Duncan didn't mention this. But May 1 is like the first special ed unit count, and we get numbers for next year. And so we hired everybody. Then September 30th came, and after the school year started, we lost 3 intense complex students, which translated into a unit and a half. So a unit and a half is a teaching unit and a half. That's over $100,000 that we lost right there when you include OECs and.
You mean that there were students that were supposed to go here?
They started here.
So we had staffing in place to account for that, and then they left for whatever reason.
Yeah.
And the staff stayed.
But then the staff stayed because there were other there's other responsibilities that they have. And then the other is we had people who had left, like we had to get a new counselor. Mm-hmm. We had other staff. Mr. Oliver left, and we need to replace him. So when staff leave and you need to replace them, sometimes they come at a higher price because they have more years of experience, higher degrees, and sometimes that means you have to pick up more on the local share. You don't get that, the state is a certain amount, and then you have to make up for everything through local, so they might be more expensive locally. And Duncan, what did you say that total came to?
On the, just the replacement of staff was a net difference of $75,000 more, $73,000 more.
And then you also, because OECs are what, like 37%?
32.
So if you're looking at that, then also I'm assuming how it is here. If you hire Chris Moody and I'm single, but then you hire my replacement and as a family, OECs?
Separate. So if we hire a teacher, at, just to say it's $75,000, the OECs alone will be another $25,000.
Right.
And then if they have a family, you could be up to another $24,000 in health insurance.
That makes up a difference, because again, if you budgeted for Chris Moody and then I left and then somebody else comes in and you're adding $20,000 and it happens 3 times, mm-hmm. All those things, they do, but that's why I was going back to the trends. If every month we're up a few percent, that's it's so critical at the end of the day of where we're going to end up.
So wait, so that $73,000, is that salaries and OECs? Or that's salaries plus like another, you know, $20,000 in OECs?
That was just salaries.
Salaries.
Okay, so it's really 73 plus an additional like $20,000.
It's 100.
So that's 100,000.
Right.
So that's,
but that didn't happen in the past month.
Well, right. That's right. 200,000 right
correct
there.
That's where I'm struggling, is where we approved a budget 1 month ago, and then $200,000 worth of unexpected expenses came up in the past month.
Well, not just, yes, between now and the end of June, potentially.
Right.
It wasn't just 200 in a month.
Right.
I think the biggest concern, and I'm sure you agree, is next year.
Yes.
Because we have inflation. And you're showing deflation in revenue. Like, I think it's, and you're, I think, I don't know if some of these are just optimistic, like other expenses and contingencies going way down in an inflationary environment, or, but, and I'm sure you have a plan for it, but I think that's challenging.
Yeah, and there, obviously with that, so you're referring to the proposed for next year.
Yeah.
transportation, obviously staffing, our lease, those are, you know, gonna be relatively the same, or we at least know what our lease is gonna be, what our transportation is going to be, with our contractor. But yes, there's a lot of different fluctuation, and we're expecting certain amounts from the state. But again, there's always that change. We learned today in an email that our electric rate might change because our parent company has filed for bankruptcy and someone else is gonna take it over, which may cause an increase in rate.
How does the state justify decreasing the amount of money that they give to the school when there's been a net of like 11% inflation in the last year now?
Well, again, a lot of it's based on unit count and where we would anticipate. So if we have, you know, a lower count.
But don't they have to increase it just to meet inflation? Or wouldn't, I would think that would be something.
There are some adjustments, and we don't know what this number is going to be until the state finalizes the budget on June
30th. Oh, so that number is an educated guess at this point?
Correct.
Okay, good.
They haven't announced yet. They haven't announced, number one, what, like normally they do a 2% increase to teachers. They haven't announced that yet. And they haven't announced that they're doing any sort of an inflationary bump.
And those numbers are higher than 2%, right? Isn't that what you're hearing?
For salary increases? Yeah. That's the most recent that I heard, but you never know.
$300.
Yeah.
So much money. Why not?
Like, okay.
1 year it ended up to be $1,500 for every state employee.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. That's right.
What was the electric deal? What's the same with the county?
Talon Energy.
Yeah.
So that we use Delmarva Power, which is a, I don't know, all the.
They're a distributor.
Distributor from Talon. So that contract is going to have to be, I guess, redone because Talon has filed for bankruptcy. So that might, and that's not just us, it's all state agencies that utilize Delmarva Power are going to possibly look at a different rate.
So being a state agency, it's.
That's
it goes through that the state vendor that
yes.
says you have a better rate than just paying them our power separately.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, okay. So we're gonna have to tap our reserves dramatically. And then, like, what's the plan? I mean, we have to have a plan for moving forward for how we're gonna
pay that back.
Yeah. I mean, does anyone even know what the balance in our reserves is?
That's what I was going to ask. Do we know what it is?
I don't have that number in front of me, but I do know the number. I can get it.
It's like a million. I'm pretty sure it's.
No, it's more than that.
Oh,
it's,
okay.
I thought it was over.
Yeah, it's. We started the year at 2.6.
Okay. Okay. Good. All right.
But that place, if we keep
this up. I know. It can't happen every year, that's what I'm saying. Like,
we had that long-term reserve study done that shows certain milestones that will be coming up, like roof replacement and these different things,
and
it's already earmarked for $1 million needed to do certain things like that, so we got to take that in consideration and not just look at the balance.
Mm-hmm.
I asked Duncan to do a preliminary budget that will show how we plan to pay back the reserves over 2 years.
I think we might want to take a look at those. There's two reserve studies done, one for here and then one for the school or the elementary school. So since we're all one unit, we might want to have you take a look at layering those together and then overlaying that onto the 20-year plan to see where all those numbers fall in play.
Yeah, because not only do we have that plan, but we're also getting ahead of plan.
Right.
With some things that are starting to fail.
Right.
Ahead of schedule.
Yeah.
Lance, do you know when those plans were done, do you know when we looked at the amount that we have in our reserves, was that taken into account like we were supposed to build X every year? Because I know, I understand that you're going to work on a plan to repay the 450 back, but you're paying it back, but this year, next, for 3 years now, we will not be adding any to reserves. Was part of the plan to be adding X amount to reserves to match, okay.
Oh yeah, I mean.
No?
Yeah, there was a figure, they put some projection models in there.
Yeah, but
right?
See, in practicality, we haven't always put money into reserves every year. There's no expect, I mean, as far as I know, for all the years that I've been on this board, there's never, we've resisted putting into policy that we have to put a certain amount in every year. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I feel like.
But if you don't, by definition, that doesn't grow.
Well, I understand that, but some years, I mean, you can't. I mean, you can only do it if you have excess funds, right? You don't have excess funds every year.
Right, but if you budgeted for that, then it would.
I agree. I think what Lance is saying is it might make sense. I don't see it necessarily being realistic for, definitely not for this year, maybe not for next year, but if we are supposed to be adding, let's say, $250,000 in reserves every year to actually have a budget line item that says,
Reserves.
Mm-hmm.
And then we plan for it.
Right.
At least in the beginning, we think we're going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Because again, like to your point, worst case scenario, if we get into a situation
for that year,
we still have a line item full of reserves without tapping our reserves.
Exactly.
Right.
And it's our safety net.
Yeah.
Which we don't want to use.
We don't want to use, but
we want it to go in to pay for the roof in 10 years. But
right.
Is that feasible, like with the restrictions on our funding sources?
Yes.
It would have to be out of local funds.
Local.
Unrestricted.
Yeah.
So then the question, it begs the question of what does this mean for us? I know you and I talked about this earlier, but what does this mean for us in terms of our annual evaluation, et cetera?
So we'll take a hit on the financial framework. It won't be anything that, you know, we can't recover from. We're not going to be put on formal review or anything like that, but it will. We will lose a few points in the area under financials. I know that there's other schools that other charter schools that are in the same predicament this year. So it's not like we're going to stand out, but as long as this isn't and we don't plan for it to be a habit, this is a one-time situation, maybe we need to be a little bit more conservative and some of our practices and some things are going to get tightened up for next year.
We had an excess last year, right? There was an excess last year.
Yeah, I don't remember the amount.
But if I remember correctly, there was.
We've had strong financials for a while, so I don't see it being any issue. There's other schools that have had strong financials, again, that are in the same predicament. One school that I think is even taking in excess of $1 million from their reserves this year. So,
So that would require a vote?
Yeah, so any other questions for Duncan before we vote on the April financials? So is there a motion to approve the April financials as presented?
So I think that maybe perhaps that needs to be changed from yellow to red.
Yeah.
And have it approved with that.
I thought you didn't change that.
Well, that's the board, just a report just for the board. Eric, the statement here doesn't include the colors.
Maybe
yes.
Okay. All right. So is there a motion to approve?
I'll motion to approve.
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Okay, motion carries. All right. FY23 budget.
So again, this is just a draft, really just for discussion. We could, if there's any feedback or any other, any things that need to be adjusted, we can make those changes and then bring it back for the June meeting. So unit count, obviously, as I said, it drives our state funding with our lottery and with our May 1 count, which is done every year. We don't anticipate too much of a change, possibly a slight increase in unit compared to this year. The unknown is always where we will be on September 30th, especially when it comes to some of our special needs categories, basic, complex, and intense students. That was where we saw the difference this year with those few kids that did leave us, and it changed to be a unit and a half less than what we anticipated in May of last year. So based on just projections, where we were May 1, You can see on the operations side, a little less than where we were for this year. And you're going to see some similar numbers in comparison, again, specifically because we have about 1,120 students. Next year, expect to have about 1,120 students. It's just a matter of filling in the spots. If students leave, we go to the lottery and fill. We had over 1,200 students in the lottery this year. So we're not going to be trying to go out and recruit more students. We have plenty that could be admitted if other students do lose or do leave us. So any adjustments between this year and last fiscal year on the state side are going to be mainly if the state makes any adjustments for inflation or little tweaks here and there just on that final unit count. So, and that's why the difference is only about $20,000 in the projection for next year on the state side. On the local, this amount does include what I would anticipate as a substitute for the tuition tax, as the state makes that calculation, as well as continued revenue coming through the pool and other sources that we've seen. So while it's not as high as it was last year, that's mainly because I believe once the state figures out the calculation for tuition tax, we will get more money than we have in the past, not as much as what we had budgeted for this year with that $250,000. So on the local side, right around $3.5 million is anticipated. Federal, the biggest difference here between FY22 and FY23, at this point, I'm not expecting an ESSER 4 allotment. Mm-hmm. We've gotten COVID money the last few years, not a whole lot. Some of our ESSER money that we've received is spread out over a three-year period. So we will still be spending that down over the next two fiscal years, but we don't expect at this point to get another lump sum like we've seen the last 2 years since COVID has hit. So that's the main reason for that reduction. We'll still receive our federal title funding and our special ed funding, but the balance of that is going to be spending out the rest of our ESSER funding. So anticipated revenue for fiscal year 23 is substantially less than what we had anticipated for this year at just over $13.3 million. So in anticipation of that, obviously we need to make adjustments or reductions in our expenditures. We will see a large portion of that in staffing and salaries, and we are.
How do we make that reduction? What does that mean?
So this is the staffing plan that we'll share. There's just certain positions that were here, or like we had a additional nurse assisting with COVID that was being paid on an hourly basis that we won't need anymore. There's some positions of people leaving that won't be replaced. Some other things, but since it's personnel, we'll discuss it in executive.
Got it. And are we still, we're still looking at leveling up salaries over the summer?
Or? Yeah, they're still going to take a look at that. Yeah. We're going to convene the committee to do all that.
Other items, we didn't anticipate such large increases in energy. I hope that we're topping out. I think I mentioned at the last board meeting just 2 years ago, our difference in propane and oil are up anywhere from 65% to 80% from what we were paying 2 years ago. I hope we're not looking at another 65% to 80% come for the coming year. But again, that's an estimate of what I expect our energy costs, energy utilities would be.
So you're essentially saying it's not going to get any worse.
I hope not.
Or your estimate is assuming no more change than what it is right now.
Correct. Yeah.
We may want to add something to there.
Yeah. Again, we can make those adjustments, and this is just preliminary budget, obviously, just like this year, as things change between when it's approved in June through the end of unit count, through other sources of revenue. We received another $130,000 from the state that wasn't necessarily anticipated this year with different things. You know, we can make some adjustments, but yes, in planning, we might need to look at increasing
that. I think that utilities and the building maintenance custodial stuff, those two categories are pretty much flatlined as they are now, but I think those are going to need to be bumped up in some relation to where they were this year.
I think another thing the board needs to consider, and I don't know if the board wants to put a policy in place, when the state has always passed a raise, we always have passed it along to everyone. But we have unfunded positions that we still pass that along, so we would have to eat that. So if we had 10 to 20 positions that the state didn't give $2,000, that's $40,000 that we had to do to give the increase to everyone across the board. Some charter schools, in the past when the state portion came, it wasn't passed along, but we've always been passing it for the last 4 years, so whatever increase, even though we haven't done a local salary bump, we've done the state, they always have gotten their state increase, and I know that we weren't practicing that before I got here. But we do have to take a look at the local part, but I don't know if the board wants to have a policy on that or of how we take a look at it, of how we pass it along, because we, like I said, if we have 20 employees and everybody's getting $2,000, we have to eat that $40,000 for that 20 employees because the state's not funding it.
You mean 20 employees that the state doesn't
right, that don't fall in the state.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think
it'd be merit-based, but maybe I'm just
But we do have to, we said we were going to reconvene the compensation committee every 3 years, so we do have to go back, take a look at the scales and measure up, level up on our local
who wants
portions,
to do
so
that?
That'll be an increase.
Oh, good.
Brittany and Chris, I'll help you guys. I did it last bunch of times. So Eric, just send me the scales and all that.
Yep.
We have to pull the current salary scales from all the
districts.
I'd like to be on that committee too, John.
Oh, okay, great.
Thank you.
All right, so who do we have? We have Brittany, Moody, Sarah.
I would put Patches on there.
Then you don't need me.
And don't we should probably also need like the demographic breakdown from where, because it was based on a percentage of how many kids came to each district.
Yes, we do. We need that because it's going to be different than it was
before.
I have that.
Hmm?
I have that.
Oh, okay. Send it on.
Okay. It'll be, yeah. So the other lines here just are, the adjustments where amounts are a little lower compared to this fiscal year are really just because of some of the work that's been done this year, previous years, having money available through, COVID money available to make some of those expenditures. Again, this is just a draft preliminary. If there are other recommendations or suggestions, we can take a look at those and make adjustments before returning in June to for the board approval of the preliminary budget. We do need to do one by June 30th.
Duncan, I have a question about under the expenditures. It's under the other expenses and contingencies. It looks as though for FY22, our budget was $402,000, and that's now reduced to $258,000.
Mm-hmm.
What does that category entail? The other,
it's,
the catch-all.
Yeah, and that's really it. I mean, when we have different expenses, we have to code them different ways,
yeah,
and you follow the different state codes. So something like tractor repair. You might think falls under building maintenance and custodial supplies, but because of the account code that's connected to, it doesn't specifically fall into one of those buckets. So it goes into the everything else.
And we predict that's going to be a less of an expenditure next year, or that's just the place.
That's where really just the balance.
Force,
yeah.
Yeah.
It has
to.
It's a force.
Has to. And yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I would propose that we wait until we've had more of a conversation about other stuff before we vote on this.
Well, we wouldn't vote now anyway.
Right. We'll be coming back in June.
Okay.
It's in June.
Okay, good.
Any other questions for Duncan before we move on? Okay. Any committee reports from anyone? Jim, do you have one?
No.
Okay. All right. We don't have any old business, right? New business, just wanted to just to give everyone an update. I have to check the number of applications, but we have been receiving them. We were talking about what did Pastor send? What was the
executive?
Yeah, so the executive committee is going to meet over the next couple of weeks and start to review the applications. Obviously, we're going to share all the applications with you, but just like we've done in the past, kind of assess the needs of the board and then go through those, and then we would probably make some recommendations like in the past to the board. However, all the applications will be shared, and then we will vote at the June meeting on new board members and who is staying and go through all that. Questions on that?
How do you guys get the word out?
Last year we started doing this, we did it this year. Andrea sends out an email to all of the SA families.
Okay.
And say that we're accepting board applications and just word them out.
It's also on social media.
Yeah, I think it wasn't on Facebook. I thought
yeah.
I saw it on
yeah.
Facebook, social
yeah.
media.
That was on a while ago. And then I think we just got the email today calling for submissions.
And I asked Andrea today if we could end that, because we didn't put an end date, and I think we should have that. So
yeah.
I just said Friday, May 27th. That gives us...
No, you said
I think
May
20th. The email says the 20th.
20th, I said that?
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
20th.
Okay, whatever I said. and then that gives us a little bit of time in June to kind of meet and have some discussions and then get everything ready for June meeting.
Okay.
And you can always do what happened last year if we need to have a special meeting to just review that board
mm-hmm.
have a meeting. As well, an additional meeting in June.
Yeah, there's been quite a few.
How many spots do we have?
Right now we have five. So that's a significant turnover. So again, that's why we were going to kind of do a little bit of the foundational work and really assess our needs and then bring it to everyone's to the floor here and have some of those discussions and just kind of share our thoughts and go from there.
Do you have the names?
I do. I can email them to you.
Okay.
Who's on the executive committee?
Me, Patches, and Eric, and Lauren.
So the executive committee is the past president,
president,
vice
president,
and vice president.
Yeah. So that's going to be our plan for June. So, yeah, June will be a busy meeting because we'll have the boards. We're going to have the grading policy, staffing policy, the budget.
And the strategic plan.
Strategic plan. So that's going to be a lengthy meeting, just so everyone is aware of that. I don't think it's going to be an hour and 15 minutes long. It's going to be a longer one. So just be prepared for that. Maybe we can talk Eric into buying lunch. Well, then again, we don't want to go into any fun.
Bring your own food.
Bring your own dinner that night.
No one's buying anything.
We'll get some Pat's pizza. And no
kitchen
more, no more pens for you, Duncan.
The other thing
no
is
more
that
patties.
We need to we need to designate a time over the summer to do a board retreat. I spoke mm-hmm. to Kendall, and I'm really appreciative of all the board. We're going to get a financial training, so the board. I think is better equipped to be able to ask questions, review budgets.
You mean after retreat we'll do that?
After retreat.
Yeah, but are they designing something? Because the canned stuff
it's not a canned.
Okay, good.
No. That way,
I think one of the main jobs of the board is financial oversight. And the board that budgets presented monthly, the CBOC committee. So I think it's important that you're equipped with, you know, the knowledge that you need to fulfill that duty with fidelity.
Jen and I are going to we'll organize the retreat. Because we need to do that. We also need to do, like, just a regular board, like, you know, what's it called?
But you're going to work with Patches, obviously, because it's going to be his his meeting, so his training or his...
Sure, normally the president doesn't even want to have hands on it.
Well, I don't want to speak for him, but yeah. I just don't...
You know. I just think we need to do, you know, we need compliance, we need financial training, and then we also have 5 new members. We need to do, like, really healthy...
It's like an orientation.
Orientation.
Yeah, it's a lot.
I mean, we did a good one last year, but we need to, like, you know...
The charter school network said that they were going to work on some sort of orientation program that they were going to put together and put out.
And I haven't heard. I mean, I can ask Kendall at our next call.
Yeah, because there was something where that was supposed to be sort of standardized on some level about like charter school orientation, which and then you could personalize it for your own school, which I thought was good instead of having to do it from scratch. But who knows?
I have one thing under old businesses. What about reviewing the scholarship applications?
So Laura and I were talking about that today. I believe, I can check with Andy, but I believe everyone has paid at this point. You haven't? Everyone but one person in here has not.
Who wanted a deadline?
I know,
right?
Yeah. I lost my checkbook.
I promised Andy that everyone was paying.
I swear to you, it's on the record. I will send a check. I swear. I'm so sorry.
So what we were trying to figure out is, do we want to do what we did last year and have, like with Lauren, you had the teachers, right?
Nominating.
A nominating committee.
Of three, you picked, I think, a nominating committee where the teachers selected three, and then there was like a short blurb of like, this is why, like a paragraph. And then we voted anonymously on who those, we didn't know who the three people were.
Right.
And then we voted on who we thought was the best based on that.
And then the years passed, so didn't we read all of them, Jen?
Now, in the years past, though, I think this is the issue. So when Debbie Fees was here, she, like, sent out a thing for all the students to submit this application,
right.
and then it was sent through to the to our board and to the foundation board. And as far as I know, now that that wasn't passed on. And
right,
so then, and then there was, that didn't happen last year, and then I assume this year again, the same issue, like
So it's up to the board. I mean, if the board was okay with that process last year of having the teachers recommend three and going through that nominating, and then letting the board vote from there.
Right, because our only criteria is like best exemplifies the motto. It's not a really stringent criteria.
I think it's fine.
Does anyone have an issue with that? Because we can just do the same thing as long as
Sarah.
You work with Eric.
Yeah,
Sarah's
how much
work is that?
I didn't do that last year, so I don't know how that was done. No, you did. You sent me emails about, so I don't know where you compiled, but there was something where
I'll have to.
You have to go
I
back.
I do not recall this.
You did.
As long as
it was the same time frame.
No, I know what you're saying.
As long as the teachers take it seriously, then I think
we would.
Then we can
trust
their recommendations.
Yeah, I think you had a small group, and then you sort of.
And then we still
like,
get to vote.
Yeah.
On three, so.
But it was voted without like names in it though.
Yes.
No names.
Yeah.
No names and just sort of like taking out the identifying information.
It had all the credentials for each kid, but I think redacted the personal information.
Correct.
Right.
So we'll just follow that same policy
again,
or that.
If you go under board scholarship, you know, I can send it back to you because I found it earlier today. I was like, okay, right, this was what we did.
Yeah.
What'd you say?
I said hopefully everybody pays.
I was.
All right.
But now that if we're in this situation here, like, do we want to enact a new policy for next year to have an application that they fill out and make it more formal so that we don't end up in the same thing? Or are we okay with keeping this? Like, let's solidify the process.
Yeah, I mean, if the board is going
to
be.
Yeah, I could go back to the original process.
If the board likes this process, then
I sort of think an application is, like, if a kid is up for it, they should fill out the application and
instead of being like surprise,
instead of just being nominated, right?
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. I think they should submit for it.
I think it'd be good for maybe there to be a board committee to revamp the process.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good idea.
Anybody want to jump on that?
Really a good process.
Mm-hmm. Oh, we used to get like 20, 25 applicants. And then, I mean, it wasn't that extensive. It was just a short essay.
I mean, I'll take a stab at it.
Yeah. It wasn't like the old process of trying to go through the middle school applications and stuff like that.
Does anyone want to help? Lance.
For
this year?
Jen will?
For next year. Okay.
I will.
Okay. But for this year,
We're going to do future nominated.
It's too late anyway.
Yeah, it's too late.
And then next year, maybe, do you think you'll have anything by June? Like a tentative plan, or is it too early?
No, definitely
no.
Not.
Yes?
Would you say?
What? I said no.
But it's pretty fairly simple, right?
Right.
There's not a lot to it. It's going to be like a.
You just have to find the old one and then just update it.
Do you think you can have. Lance is in charge here. Lance, do you think you'll have it by a June meeting?
I actually asked Lance to get me stuff within 2 hours.
Yeah, I know. I'm like, oh my gosh, this is.
And he's usually pretty good at that.
It's so easy.
Yeah.
Okay.
You're stressing Jen out down here. Well, hopefully we'll have.
Why don't you take on the compensation committee too then?
No, I haven't. You got that one.
All right. Well, hopefully we'll have a tentative plan for next year, and then we'll implement it and vote on it, and then we'll have that in place for next year, and then we can let the students know early on.
Yeah, the main thing is just making sure the students have it in their,
next year.
They get some sort of email or something that gets sent out, I would say.
She used to send out a whole list of all the scholarships.
There's a list of all the local scholarships, right? Like local scholarships or something? Or is it even national? I don't know.
No, it's just the. She was involved in just the school ones. There's like the Dutton one. There's the.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Just the ones that the school's involved in.
Right. So that it just needs to be on the
planning for this.
So for this year, can I. It looks like last year I sent out an email to staff asking for nominations. Can I gather those and just email them out to everyone? Because we need to have those.
Well, we did three, right? I think you sent three
last
year.
Three nominations.
Without names.
Yes.
But with like a write-up of why.
Yes.
A description, sure.
Uh-huh.
So can we do that again? But it's going to be through email because the scholarship would be announced at the ceremony on June 2nd in 2 weeks.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
Every year.
Okay.
We're like, I'm trying to
do this. It's exactly the same time.
It comes every year, but we're like surprised by it.
And who would present this scholarship? You? President.
Yes, you.
Sure. I can present it.
So I'm going to put that in our little spreadsheet we have going
okay.
then so, because they're creating a program.
Okay.
Is that okay?
Yes.
So June 2nd at 6 o'clock.
And someone from the foundation will have to give out their award too.
So I'll have to also go on this little spreadsheet.
So are we doing awards on 2nd or 3rd?
Mm-hmm. I thought they were doing graduation is the 3rd, so the night before will be senior awards.
Sarah thought that Crystal and Kathy Cripps were already doing something with this. You might want to check with them.
They are.
Okay.
But that's what I'm saying, is she sent out the spreadsheet, so I would want to add that, because I think that's how she was creating the program.
Yeah, now you have a minute about the scholarships for the foundation versus the board. We've had conversations on that, because I brought it up probably about 3 or 4 weeks
ago. Like they already have a person?
Don't know about that.
I think they're collecting information.
And then we talked about the process, because I brought it to their attention about 4 weeks ago.
Perfect. So this is on the radar then?
It can't.
Great. All right, well, let me take a look at this.
All right. Any other discussion? Any old business that we missed? We do have exec. So can I have a motion to go into executive session to discuss personnel matters?
I'll make a motion, Jen.
Second?
I'll second.
Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? And we will not be returning from executive session. So thank you.
It's 5:36.
You start right up. Okay.